A reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Here ends the first reading. Our second reading this morning comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled and says, Abraham believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I can remember vividly the first time I memorized the Apostles' Creed. I was probably in fifth grade, and my older sister was going through confirmation. One of the tasks for confirmands at our church was to memorize the Apostles' Creed. And my sister took this task very seriously. She got a big poster and wrote out the creed in different colors and fonts. And as she worked through the different parts, I sat on her bed behind her and learned along with her. Both of us working through these words that now come as second nature to me. I can remember the feeling of importance of learning the Apostles' Creed and being excited to finally be able to join in. Learning these words felt like a way for me to join the chorus of the congregation who loved and raised me. It felt like a rite of passage. It was the tune that everyone in the congregation knew, and I wanted to be able to sing along. To join in the chorus felt like the ultimate goal at the time. As members of the Reformed faith, the confessions are our way of claiming the religious history that has come before us. These creeds were written in contextual moments of history. They are responding to what was happening in a particular time and remind us of those moments that have brought us to where we are today. Our Hebrews text gives us a simple and clean definition of faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews reminds us to trust in the things that are not made visible to us, resting in the hope that was given in Jesus Christ. And this is the comfortable part for us. As the Reformed faithful, we have known since the days of Luther and Calvin how to trust that God will be with us, that there are unseen things that we don't understand, and we trust that there are forces in the world that are working for good. But James, as usual, rocks the boat. He reminds us that our words only have power if true action follows, that our faithful words are not enough. He says, faith without works is dead. James is calling us to put fire in our bellies and show the world what these words we've been saying for 502 years and before that really mean. It's not only that we have hope and faith in God, but it's also the actions that follow these words that truly give us meaning. It's not only comfortably giving money to just causes, but it's showing up when volunteers are needed and getting our hands dirty. When I was in college, I had the privilege of spending a semester abroad in Spain. While I was there, I got to travel around Europe, seeing these beautiful ancient cities full of rich history and culture. And while I was there, I spent a lot of time looking up at the beautiful buildings and amazing architecture, at the trees picturesquely placed along the streets, at the often blue sky that smiled down at me. But I also spent a lot of time looking down. I saw poverty. I'd seen poverty before going to Europe, but there was something incredibly striking to me as I walked the streets thinking about where my next delicious meal would be and seeing incredible suffering around me. My privilege was undeniable and unavoidable. I spent a lot of that semester feeling incredibly blessed. But I also spent a lot of time asking God how I got to be the person traveling around Europe when there were people in such different circumstances from me. It was during these prayers that I discerned that my faith in God had just been about me and God. But it needed to be about God and me and God's people. I needed to get my hands dirty and put some fire in my belly and show that faith that I had been carrying in my heart with dirty hands. It is precisely when we get our hands dirty that we actually affirm our faith, and that all that we do become extensions of our words. When someone tells us they are hungry, responding with prayer is not enough. We need to be able to give them food. When we witness systems of oppression, a sexist comment, a white person crossing the street instead of walking past a person of color, offering a prayer does not align with our affirmations of faith. Our thoughts and prayers in response to the increasing homeless population, in the wake of yet another mass shooting, in response to the crisis at the border, is not enough. And it's not what we say that we believe. We say that we believe in a God of love and grace and justice, and yet we stand by and offer prayers rather than stepping in when something needs to be done. Boldly saying what we believe only matters if we leave this place and show that belief to the world. We recite these creeds and statements today to affirm our faith in the Holy Triune God in response to the life-giving word. We show up on Sunday morning for worship and are filled to do the work and go out and claim the words that we say here in this space. On Sunday mornings, we say the words, and then we spend our week continuing to define this faith through our actions. These words that we say are inextricably linked to the actions we do, defining each other, giving each other meaning and purpose, sustaining us to do the hard work that we are called to do. And friends, it's hard work. to speak out against injustice, to go out of our way to welcome the stranger, to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. These are not easy tasks. And even though these tasks are not easy, they sometimes seem small in the face of such large systems of injustice and oppression. Hebrews tells us that we are assured of things hoped for. But what do we hope for? And how do we begin to see the fruits of that hope? I think here at UPC, we hope for justice. We hope for grace. We hope for love. And we see this hope in the ways that we show up for things that matter. When you volunteer at Uplift, when the church overflows the cart, in these acts, we participate in God's salvific work. We are participating in the things hoped for, the salvation of God, the thing that we do not see, and yet we believe it's coming. When our actions are in line with these words, they bring definition to our faith through the testimony of the lived faith we show in our lives. When I memorized the words to the Apostles' Creed, it felt like the foundation for the house of faith that I continue to build every day. In the years since memorizing, I have learned that simple memorization is not enough to call myself a Christian. Though at the time, as a child, it felt like I needed these words of faith in order to be part of the congregation. These words are important, and they remain important now, but what I have since learned is that the words themselves are not the goal of faith. These creeds carry with them the weight of all the Christians who have come before us and said these words, proclaiming their faith in the face of injustice, in the face of oppressive powers, in the face of civil forces. And on this day, Reformation Sunday, we celebrate the parents of the Reformed faith who made bold claims about the church and God and started a radical church revolution. When we say an affirmation of faith, we invoke those who have come before us and proclaim for ourselves and for others what we believe today. We stand on the shoulders of our ancestors who built a foundation for us. And we continue the work of building a house of faith that is shaped by our words and defined by our actions. These creeds were indeed written in a particular time and place, and they continue to speak to us today. But we are also living in a particular time and place. Friends, continue to build the house that was given to us, making our own marks, so that those who come after us will know our words and see the fruit of our action. May it be so.